Well, welcome back to the Zero to Everything podcast. My name is Brady Driscoll. So excited to have you guys back. It has been a few minutes. I know it's been about 4 months since the last time we were on here. Things have been hectic, and I'm super excited to have our guest on right now. Efron, thank you so much for joining us. If you don't, you guys don't obviously know who they are yet, but they got started after my last podcast. And so it's been a little while. We've added, I think, just this year alone, since the last podcast, we've had 50 brand new agents get started with us. So we are growing at a massive pace. If you guys don't know, you know, what we do is a life insurance industry, and I have an agency here with Equus Financial. And so I'm super excited to have Efron here. I want to bring you on because of the absolute, what you're doing here, essentially. You know, I've never seen somebody, not only you're part-time in the business, okay? You have a full-time job. You're also building an agency. And so I just kind of want to dive in. And so if you don't know, on this podcast, what we try to do is actually kind of bring the people behind the curtain of a life insurance agent and really get into the nitty gritty of how life insurance works, right? I feel like, you know, in the life insurance industry, we're always talking about, you know, the nice cars, the dinners, the travel, all that kind of great stuff. But let's actually like dig in, and so people can really understand exactly what it takes to become what you're becoming and making the kind of income that you're kind of making. So Efron, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, like Brady said, my name is Efron Landau. I got into life insurance, you know, the very last week of November of 2023. My wife and I were out in our yard. We live about 100 feet from Brady, and he was walking by with his dog Benji, started chatting with us for the first time, never met you before.
And I offered a job right away.
Yeah, he offered my wife a job right away because I'm very happy at my full-time job. So, and then, you know, my wife was going to get licensed. So about 2 days later, I was like, well, why don't I get licensed too? I love a challenge. So, you know, I was like, okay, well, let me try this. And, I come from an education background. I was a teacher for 12 years. I'm currently in project management and work remotely. Like Brady said, I have that as my full-time job, and I've just been doing this part-time.
Yeah. And not only that, you know, when I first introduced myself, yeah, we definitely were just chatting, and I automatically always offer a job. That's just the way. It's my pickup line. So, do you want a job? I'm always hired. You know, you getting started, not only did you do it really quickly, I mean, I think you studied and passed the exam, what, 4 days?
Yeah, I think I took the pre-licensing test, studied for 2 days. Yeah, so in about 4 days, I passed the test. So I think I got up and running. It was right before Thanksgiving. So I think I waited for Thanksgiving to go by and then started the week after. So I got started in 2.5, 3 weeks.
Yeah, which is crazy quick. But that's usually how quick we can get people up and going, get them through training. And that's not just because they live right next to me. That's very rare they're actually over here. It's just the fact of the business that if you want to do it really quick, you can. And so maybe go into like, why did you do it so quickly? What were you actually looking for? I know we were talking to your wife first originally, and then you kind of picked up the sword and took it. So, you know, what brought you to go do that? And then also, start the journey here.
Yeah, I mean, I am someone who likes to occupy my brain. I love puzzles and things. So when I have something to do, I just, you know, power through it. I'm not someone who is just like, does a little here, does a little there. If I'm going to do something, I focus on it and I do it until it's done. So for me, like going through the pre-licensing course, I was like, okay, well, let me just go through this. And I was like, oh, I can do this. I'm a great test taker. I'm gonna just go through this course, study for a day. Actually, I was supposed to take the test like days later. And I was like, no, I'm ready now. I rescheduled it, took the test, passed right away. And I was like, okay, great. And still in my mind, I was like, I don't even know what life insurance is. I didn't even have life insurance at the time. I didn't even know what I was doing. But I was like, hey, we're going to jump into this. And when I jump into something, I jump in head first. So that's why I just got through it so quickly.
So let's actually, now that you just brought up your background, you know, let's kind of go back a little bit before you even get into the life insurance industry. What is your background? I know you mentioned a little bit earlier that you are a teacher, or you were a teacher, I should say. Mm-hmm. You've kind of lived a lot of different places. So maybe go into that a little bit and, you know, explain to people, you know, where you come from. So people understand, you know, anybody can really do this. It really doesn't matter your background.
Yeah, I'm from New Jersey. I went to college for teaching. I went for phys ed and health. I ended up getting, you know, I ended up teaching math as well. So at the end of my career, 12 years in, I taught in Trenton, New Jersey for 12 years. And I ended up hybriding between physical education and health and math. And I did that, you know, all throughout my career. And, you know, probably about 4 years before I left teaching, I, you know, started to think, you know, I don't really want to do this anymore. Teaching just, you know, completely changed and it wasn't fun for me anymore. And I tried everything. I switched subjects. I switched grade levels. And I just decided, you know what?
You're moving all around then.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm done. And then my wife and I finally got together. So I left New Jersey, moved down to Atlanta, and I went into ed tech, and I worked from home and I got really bored with the job. So I got my certificate in project management, moved into a project management job from home, which I absolutely love, which is why I still have a full-time job because I love it. It's not like I have to have it, but I love it. So that's kind of my background. We're now down in Florida. My mother-in-law lives down here, which is why we moved down here. So I work, like I said, remotely from home doing my project management job full-time and then doing life insurance around that full-time job.
Yeah. So, I mean, anybody can really, especially, you know, you're kind of proof in the pudding there. You know, you can literally do another job and do this at the same time. And so not only that, you were able to sort of retire your wife, right? They no longer work, right?
Yeah, after about 2 months, my wife did not love her job. She got a new job when we moved down to Florida. She was working in person, didn't love it. So about 2 months into getting into life insurance, she left her job. You know, she stays at home. She fully, you know, supports me, helps me control my emotions in the life insurance sales, you know, does everything with the dogs, basically is my rock at home. And she helps with, you know, some of the recruitment and everything. So she's been really happy since she's been able to leave that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've definitely been a lot happier since leaving that 100%. Job. It was not their favorite job ever. So, no. You know, also transitioning, you know, you coming into the life insurance business, was it super easy at the very beginning?
I had no idea what I was doing. I remember.
Which made it somewhat easy, I think, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think my first week, it was interesting because I started dialing that Monday. I was able to set appointments, but I had no one show. Mm-hmm. So my show rate was zero. And I was like, oh, well, this sucks. This isn't going to work. And then I think I called you. I walked through what I was doing. And you're like, you're not even following the script. And I was like, okay, well, I might as well then try to follow the script. And I think Tuesday.
Not even following the script. You weren't even triple dialing. If you guys don't know, we triple dial our clients because 80% of clients won't answer unless you triple dial. So
I wasn't doing a lot of things that I was supposed to be doing. But it was my first day. And then first week, but I am not someone who gives up. I'm very competitive and it's not even against just like other people. I just need to like beat myself. So I was like, okay, day two, let's follow the script. Still not going to triple dial, but let's follow the script. And I think I had like a 50% show rate the next day, but I had a couple and I sold the couple a policy each. So I got two, I wrote two policies my second day. And I called Brady. I was like, oh my God, I did it. And then I'm like, but is the money really going to go into my account? Like, it's still, you're kind of living in this, like, is this really real? And then I think it was about 2 days later, I got the money in my account and I was like, oh, so it does work. And then I'll never forget. This is the appointment that stands out the most to me. I think it was that first week. And I think it might've been the Thursdays. It was like 2 days later. I'm on a call with probably a mid-40s woman going through the needs analysis and everything. And I send it to you and you're like, go with an IUL with whatever company, here are your quotes. And I was like, why would I do an IUL? Why shouldn't we do this? I had no idea.
Yeah. I was like, I don't even know why you're questioning it. It was, everyone's the first person to ever like question me on like their third or fourth appointment. I'm like, what do you mean?
Like, I mean, I thought an IUL was like a term. I was like, I didn't understand. I had like, when I say I had no idea what I was doing, I had no idea. I don't have a sales background. Like my dad had a woolen shop in Princeton growing up, and I would work at his shop, but like by no means was I a salesperson. Like my wife is the one with sales experience. I don't have any. I don't know anything about life insurance. So that first week, I ended up writing, I think it was four policies total and made about $3,000 my first week, having no idea what I was doing.
Well, see, that's the benefit of this business, though, is when you don't have an idea what you're doing, you're usually really successful because it's, I always call it, you know, we have this massive up for new agents and then we call it a little slight dip, right? And the slight dip is when agents are learning more about the business, learning more about the products, and then they're like, ooh, now I want to ask this question. Now I want to look at this product. Now I want to do this. Now I want to do that. And it's like, stop. Yep. Just stick
and
to
that roller coaster happened to me. Yep.
Yeah. Same thing. And so it's like, you know, you just have to stay level headed, follow the system. Like it sounds so mundane because it is so mundane. It's like what we were dialing the other day. I'm like, I really do sound like a robot, you know? Yep. So, and the reason being is because all we do is just repeat ourselves over and over again. And that's why we do what we do. And that's why I really don't believe it is a sale when it comes down to it, because a normal sale, you know, like we've talked about is before is, you know, two thirds logic, one third emotion, to where with what we do is two thirds emotion, one third logic. So the reason why it's only one third logic is because people really already know that they need something. Mm-hmm. That's why they contacted us in the beginning. Yep. And it's really just kind of making sure that they understand emotionally side of things of, man, if I don't have this, yeah, family's not doing too hot.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's also the thing that benefits me is having a teacher background. I like to educate. Like I said, I don't have a sales background, but I think that's why I've been able to be so successful so quickly, because I'm not trying to sell anyone anything. I don't like selling people things. And I mean, that hinders me at sometimes, but I like educating and giving people knowledge, which I think is, you know, what has helped me so far.
Yeah. And I mean, it's definitely been helping you so far. That's for sure. So, you know, getting into it, you know, having a little bit of struggles in the beginning, what was it really like? Would you say this is super hard to get into? Would you recommend other people getting into it? Like, what would you say, like, if there's like one thing that comes to your head right away, like the biggest thing that you didn't realize about getting into the business?
I mean, I think the first thing that pops into my head doesn't answer your question, but I think if you're thinking about getting into the business, if you are not going to put in the effort and take the feedback and actually follow the system, but effort being the biggest thing, you're not going to be successful. So I think for me, understanding, you need to track your numbers. You need to understand if you buy this many leads, you're going to set this many appointments. And if you set that many appointments, you're going to get this many people to show up. And if that many people show up, you're going to sell this many policies, right? And it's not always going to be perfect. But if you look, if I were to go back and if I actually tracked my numbers, it probably would work out pretty similar. I know I'm up in some areas and I'm down in some, but because one's up and one's down, it ends up balancing out anyway.
Right, right. You just brought up a good question here. Let's bring up your numbers, actually. I wasn't planning on doing this, but might as well just do it since we have access to it. So the great thing about what we do is everything is tracked. And it is. So if you guys didn't know, I went to school for engineering, so I really love numbers. And this is why I love this business, is because it's like, it's just a math equation. Like, we know exactly, we know it even for hiring people, like one out of two people that we hire, they're going to get started and write their first application. And then we know how long the retention is, for how long they're going to be in the business. So as I'm getting this pulled up here real quick, though, what is, you know, maybe the hardest thing, though? Is it just the consistency aspect of doing the business and kind of the, like I said before, just the mundane process of it? Or what would you say is like kind of the hard part about insurance?
The hard part, I think it is the consistency, because even when I say the word consistency now and when I've heard it, I had no idea what it meant, right? You would be like, consistency, got to be consistent. Other people have to be consistent. What does that even mean? And I think it's not until recently where I actually understood, right? And that's, you know, number one, you're doing this every week. Maybe it's not every day, right? With my schedule, I can't do every day. I can't do 8 appointments a day. But I know that, you know, last month after we went to Atlanta, we continued to drive north to go to New Jersey to visit family. And I essentially tried to work a little bit, but I didn't, right? I took the week off. Coming back, I sucked. I couldn't set a single appointment. And mind you, that's one of my like key areas. I can set appointments and I can get people to show up. And that week that I got back from not really doing much, I sucked. So consistency, what that actually means is, you know, doing this and not, you know, you make a little bit of money and then you dip off for a while.
Now, I wouldn't say you sucked. It was just more or less you lost the money. you lost momentum, though. So I know you know it's an analogy, but a lot of people really don't understand the flywheel effect, right? So if you guys don't know what a flywheel is, just Google flywheel effect on YouTube, what you're on right now. And what you can do is you're going to be able to actually see how a flywheel gets started, right? It starts out really slowly and it needs a little help getting going. Mm-hmm. And then it starts going a little bit slower. And then it starts going a little bit faster. And then it just keeps on going and going. And then at one point, it will just keep on going. It will never end. And so that's what kind of happens. Like, if you put the brakes on that, now you got to get that going again. And then you got to start again.
And I think, you know, not for me specifically, I'm someone who will reach out for help all the time because I know that I'm not great at everything. But I think for other people coming into the industry, those being feeling like bad about reaching out for help or, you know, not wanting to reach out because they think everything they're doing is great, that can really hinder you. I know when I wasn't able to set appointments, I recorded myself, I sent you it. You were like, hey, listen, we just got to change this. The next day I set 7 appointments, right? I also, you know, if you're willing to see or find your areas of opportunity where you can grow, it's only going to be beneficial to you, right? My closing ratio is not that great yet. So it's either get a lot better at that or just sit more appointments. But if you're not willing to recognize that you are not perfect and you are not going to take feedback or reach out to your manager, you know, I think that's going to hinder people the most.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, a lot of new agents do struggle with is literally just reaching out to me. Excuse me. And so, you know, just like you said, you know, luckily, you know, you do live right here. So if I'm not answering my call, you
well, I told you when I first got licensed, if this didn't work, I was coming and banging your door down. So.
Or you just walking because you could just come in. But We live in a gated community, so we're good. And so, you know, being able to have that access to me, and that's one of the biggest things that I make sure in our agency is just the fact of my availability. Like, I'm literally available from the moment I open my eyes to the moment I close my eyes. And usually that's like 7:30 in the morning to 11 p.m. at night. And the reason why I keep it up and that availability is because, like, I understand that you guys are trying to either get out of the job that you're currently in. You're trying to make that extra income. You're trying to pay off credit card debt. You're trying to do all this stuff. The worst thing I want you to do is not be successful here, and it's because I wasn't available, right? Mm-hmm. When I got into the business, my managers were not available. One, because I was doing better than them, so they didn't know how to help me. But, you know, I just got not lucky, but, you know, I just outwork everybody, and that's why I was able to do that. So, but I did pull this up real quick. So Efron's been here for 5 months. So just year-to-date, I'm just pulling year-to-date numbers. I know that you've been able to help. Let's see here. I just had it. Oh, no, it just went away.
Where did it go? Year-to-date is 4 months. We're in what? Yes. Beginning of May now, so the last 4 months.
So 43 clients you've helped for $67,977.
So almost 11 clients a month, part-time.
Yeah, part-time. Yeah. That's not too bad.
It's not too. It could be better, but not too shabby.
Well, it's going to get better. So, especially as you start.
If I would be consistent.
Yes, keyword, consistent. So you guys have been able to do a lot of things, though, since getting into the business, too, right? So I know you've paid off some debt, right?
Yeah, finally starting to pay our wedding off, which is nice. We just got a new car.
Yeah, new car, too.
Yeah, it's nice to not have to live paycheck to paycheck anymore.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it definitely changes things.
Yeah, 100%.
And you can go out to nice dinners, too, now, which is nice.
Yeah.
Or just food in general, even though the Cape Coral doesn't have all the food places that y'all guys like.
Listen, when you come from Atlanta and Philly and you move to Cape Coral, there is no food here, Brady.
Oh, Cape Coma. We love it. It's terrible. It's nice and slow paced, though. It's not Atlanta, okay?
It is, but yeah.
So, shout out to Lincoln Anderson, by the way. He lives up in Atlanta. He just got a house, too. So,
oh, nice.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, he has wonderful food options to choose from, unlike me here.
That's why he bought a house there, I'm sure. But, you know, now getting into, you know, you've been doing the business. You know, I know I've kind of harpooned on it a little bit already, but the main thing I really want to dig into is, like, why do you keep on showing up and doing it? Even though you've gone through, you know, maybe the struggles a little bit of, you know, maybe not making the sales or getting told no or getting hung up on or getting cussed at, like, why do you keep on, like, why keep on going? Why not just quit right away?
Yeah, I think in the beginning when I would have people not show for an appointment or when, you know, I would go like a week and not really try too hard and then people wouldn't show. And I would get like really discouraged. Because I thought, you know, I would jot down numbers for my next appointment based on their age and he'd be like, you're wasting so much time. And I used to just get really frustrated. And then it became a point where it's like, it's a numbers game. If someone doesn't show, move to the next. So for me, you know, everything is a competition to me. Not that, you know, selling the most policies is a competition, but like, I like to be good at things. I like to grow and improve. And right now I still suck at this, even though I'm able to help, you know, on average 11 families a month. I know that I can be so much better, but also I keep going because, I mean, I genuinely enjoy this, but I even more so, like I mentioned, I like educating, coaching. I like helping people. When I left teaching, I kind of lost my purpose and my passion. So with getting into life insurance, not only am I able to help, you know, families, because we all need this type of protection. And, you know, now my wife and I have life insurance because we understand the importance of it. But number two, I'm able to help people get into the industry and also, you know, start to get the success that I'm having so that they're also not living paycheck to paycheck. So it's also just brought back up a purpose and a passion to my life. And then, you know, I also watch people like you, like Nicholas Weiner, like Tyrone, like Matthew and Kelsey, and just see how they're growing. And I think how far I've come in 5 months, starting from, you know, knowing absolutely nothing to hitting sales manager this past month. And I just think about where I can be in 6 months if I just keep this up, where I can be, you know, 18 months from now. I'm going to be in such a better position. My wife and I are going to be in such a better position. We're going to help tons of other people be in better positions. Why would I stop doing this?
Yeah, it's like you just literally. Now, that's the way I love about the business that we do specifically. You know, every business has their own, you know, ups and downs. But the business that we do, we like get to actually help people. Like the worst part of their life is losing somebody or somebody getting deathly ill, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're able to get, not saying that money fixes everything, right? But the money that we are able to give to clients, that's actually real attainable money that they mm-hmm. can receive. They're able to, you know, have that to get through their loss. You know, I have a client that, you know, got sick, but we were able to get him some money. You know, it wasn't all the money they needed, mm-hmm. but it was at least a portion of it. One of the first clients I actually ever helped to be able to get them that money. So, and then on the flip side, we get to help other agents do the exact same thing. So it's like this ever revolving window of like helping people in their worst times, but then also helping individuals get out of their current situation financially.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, like, my wife has been in real estate, has been in other things, and you just see people gatekeep so much. They don't give you the information, the knowledge, the tools. And it's like, no matter where people are in Equus, no matter what hierarchy or team they're on, if you run into them, everyone is always willing to give you like pieces of knowledge and tips and whatnot. So it's just like the fact that everyone is so open and willing, it just makes me want to help people even more because people are helping me. So why would I not give that to others?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely something that we strive to do and we try our best to do. That's for sure. I mean, all of our training is free. We don't charge for anything. We actually usually pay people to help them get started with our investment program and everything like that. I don't know any other business that we help you pay for things. So, you know, it kind of leads it into a question I do have. I think a lot of people, when they, you know, start a side hustle or they want to start a second job or a part-time job or this or that, you know, or get into real estate or anything like that, they're looking for that quote unquote time freedom. This big old word I absolutely hate. Okay. time freedom. Like, you're going to sit at home and never and just make money, and it's going to come in passively, come through the mailbox money, all that kind of fun stuff. Is that true about life insurance? And, you know, you do have more time freedom, I would imagine, right? But is it the type of time freedom that people maybe think of when it comes to time freedom?
No, because like I said in the beginning, if you're not willing to put in the effort and dial and set the appointments, you're not going to be successful, right? If I just wanted to be a producer and sell life insurance right now, I would have a lot more time. But I want to build a team. I want to chase you. I want to chase the other people and build. And if I wasn't building, I would have a lot more time. But right now, you know, I still have the time, but I also know that if I just put in more effort right now, more time, that in 18 months from now, I will have a lot of time to myself. So
yeah, so that
for my wife, for my family, not to myself. That's fine.
And so that's what a lot of people don't understand. It's like, yes, you can end up with time freedom. That's what it should be. Is like, you know, this gives you the opportunity to end up with time freedom. And what that looks like then is by building an agency to where, yeah, if you left for a week, your team's going to keep on growing, right? And I'm just now slowly getting to that point with having managers like yourself, managers like Steven and Ryan, you know, managers that are also growing like Jennifer Wagner. And so being able to grow that business to where, you know, when I have 10, 15 managers, y'all still have paychecks that you're going to have to get paid. You're going to get used to this lifestyle of having X amount of money coming in every single month. And so that's where the time freedom starts coming in. But me personally, you know, this is my fourth year doing it. So it usually takes that, you know, 3 to 5 years. For me, when I first got started, that's what it took. Now we're down to like 18 months, like you said. We can usually get anybody within, I mean, you think of Steven and Ryan, they're doing it full time in the same time frame that you've done it. You know, they've built their agency up to almost $100,000 in business, right? To where, you know, part-time, you've grown yours to half that almost.
Yeah.
And so that's where it's just condensing time frames down and then working your butt off right now to get into that.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that I don't have time, right? Like, I've now restructured my schedule to kind of balance better so that Friday nights my wife and I have, Saturday afternoons and evenings my wife and I have, and all day Sundays my wife and I have. So it's not like you have to come in here and I'm telling you 24/7 you have to bust your ass. No. You just have to be able to structure your schedule and know that, hey, on some days you are going to be putting in a lot more time and effort, but it does not mean that you can't structure it to a point where you still have that work-life balance.
So what's the biggest tool that you use to make sure you do have somewhat of a balance? So it's not, because I think there was a time where everything that we're talking about was always insurance and we had to bring the brakes back a little bit. So, you know, how did you end up and you and your, you know, spouse be able to, you know, create that kind of time structure to where you're putting every second that you can into the business, but you also have those little bit of extra times to be able to have time together.
My wife. That is how. And also listening to other people and talking to other people to figure out how they balance it. I am very similar to Brady in the sense that if I find something I like, I will dive head in and I will do it 24/7. But I am married. I can't just do that. And I think when I first started, I went right back to that mindset. And my wife had to, you know, pause me for a second and be like, listen, you can love insurance. I love that you love insurance. I love that you love doing this, but I'm here too. So we really had to, you know, pause and restructure to figure out, you know, what our life looked like so I could keep doing my full-time job, which pays for everything that we needed to, keep doing insurance, keep growing and building, but also making sure that life insurance is not, it's not our life, right? It is what we do. It's what we're growing, but it doesn't mean, you know, when I was a teacher, when you are a teacher, it is your whole life. If you ask me who I was 10 years ago, I'm a teacher. What else? I don't know. I'm a teacher. That's it, right? Your whole world revolves around teaching. With this, it does not have to be that, you know, so just, you know, figuring out how to structure it better so that it's not life insurance 24/7.
Yeah. And so I've just made my life insurance. That's my identity now, but not my identity, but you know, it's just, okay, maybe a little bit, but the reason it is, it just has changed my life so much. And mm-hmm. so I just can never shut up about it, is because it literally has just changed my life. You know, I moved all the way from Iowa to Florida. You know, I have the cars I want, the house I want, moving to an even nicer one now, I'm getting newer cars every single year. So, I mean, I love it. So, but, you know, maybe some advice for some other folks, like maybe not even just getting into life insurance, but they're wanting to start the business. They want to take that leap into, you know, having that side hustle or that other type of job. What would be some things, you know, that you would maybe give advice for?
Yeah, I've always been a doer. I think a lot of people think through things a lot and they try to plan every single aspect out, and they're not going to actually start it until they feel like they're 100% ready. For me, I've just dove into so many things because I'm just like, I'm going to try this. And right, not everything works out. I don't love everything. But the reason I got into life insurance so quickly was because I was like, I don't know anything, whatever, I'm going to wing this and we're going to try it and I'm going to grow as I go, right? And that's also why I stay in this and enjoy it, because I still have so much to learn. I am someone that I just love taking in knowledge and learning more and growing and bettering myself. And I think when, for me, that's what, you know, really, really got me in here. And I think for others, I totally just lost track and I don't even know what your question was.
Oh my gosh. So you're going in about how you know, getting into any type of side career or
Right. That, yes. Don't think about it too much. Yes. Just do it, right? When you think about it too much.
Okay, Nike.
Yeah, exactly. You never get started. I feel like there's so many people out there that just want to, you know, plan everything perfectly before they start that they never actually start. So whether it's life insurance you want to get into, whether it's something else, literally just do it. Just try it. The worst thing that could happen is that you fail, but you're actually not failing. You're just learning from it not working.
And failing is the successor to success.
Exactly. And now the next thing you do something, you know, you're going to learn from it. It's just like every life insurance appointment that I sit, whether I wrote a policy, whether I helped a family, or whether I was like, oh crap, I suck, that was terrible, I'm going to take something away from it and use it for the next. If I waited to get into life insurance until I was ready, I would still not be in life insurance.
Yeah, I mean, definitely not. And then also on top of that, you know, kind of pivot on top of there is, you know, I didn't have my age on my side when getting into the business. That's why it's kind of taken me this long to get where I'm at. And I can recognize that now as I'm getting older and about to turn 27 now. And so it's just, your mind is obviously still growing and still adapting to different and new environments and surrounding yourself with the right people. You know, that's probably the biggest thing I had to do, is cut out a lot of people. And not only that, you know, the last 8 months, you know, it's been, you know, making sure my health is good, my spiritual side is good also, and keeping all the negativity out. Like, a lot of people are like, well, why don't you go do this? Well, I got to keep me right first. Like, I'm mm-hmm. still working on me. You know, I'm still trying to learn myself also. That's why I'm in no rush to do anything else. It's just like one track mind, get really good at one thing. I think that's where a lot of people maybe struggle with getting into a side business, or they're going to be like, hey, I want to do stocks, and then I want to do drop shipping, or I want to do candles and start people's houses on fire, or, you know.
It wasn't me.
So if you guys don't know, Efron, you know, graciously gave me a great gift. They forgot to tell me that, you know, they ordered these from China.
Should have cut the wicks.
And, you know, a normal human being cuts down 3-inch wicks that are showing, so you don't have a huge flame in your house. And, well, you know, I was in here doing a recording, and then I smelled something. I was like, smells very, very like burning smell. I'm like, what is that? Walk out to my kitchen and it is a full flame. So if Trey, the editor, can pop in that video, I'll get that video and put it somewhere. Trey, we have a new editor named Trey, anyway, so shout out to him for doing this.
Yeah, I'm just going to thank my parents for this. They were very much into try things. You're not going to like everything, but, you know, try things. If you fail, it's okay. I've always had a support system from my family where it's like, just do whatever makes you happy, do it. Like, whether other people are going to judge you, who cares? Like, when I went into life insurance and I told my parents, they were just like, okay, but don't quit your full-time job. And I was like, I'm not planning to. And because, you know, it's like everybody looks at this differently. I think when you think about life insurance agents, it's like scammy people out there. And I know that what we do is not scamming. We truly help people. But I've just been fortunate enough to, between my parents, my brother, my friends, my wife, I've always had a very strong support system that is always encouraging me. And I know if my friends are listening to this, I've done a lot of dumb shit. But it, you know, all of those things have, you know, it's always propelled me forward to just keep trying things until I find something that works for me.
Let's touch on that. A lot of people, including myself, when I got into the business, didn't have that support system. What would you say? I know you did have a support system, but if you know anybody that didn't have one, what would you say for them to do as a teacher? You know, you probably saw a lot of this happening with their, you know, their childhoods and stuff like that. What would you suggest to people to make sure that they can have that support system or get one to be able to get to whatever they want to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to have a strong mentality, right? Go into it knowing that you're trying this. And if for some reason, I mean, if you work with us, it's going to work out. But for some reason or another, you know, it doesn't work out, it doesn't mean that you failed something, right? Just like you said, it's a learning experience. So I think for someone, you know, without a support system, surround yourself with other people that are doing it. We've been to, how many events have, we went to yours in Orlando before we even started. We went to, went back to Orlando, went to Atlanta, going to Dallas in a couple months. So within a 6 month time frame, 3 or 4 events where you're meeting everyone. So surround yourself, even if you're not in a, you know, locally in a space where people are, surround yourself that are also with people that are also in the business, because that is going to then be your support system.
I think those events really help too, is like, you may not trust me for whatever reason. You may not like me. Not everybody's going to like me. That's for sure. There's a lot of people that probably don't. So
my wife might not like me. Just kidding.
But they definitely love me inside. And so, you know, that's where, you know, having these events are allowed to have you get around those type of individuals to maybe get those second opinions, ask those second questions. Like you said, we don't do any gatekeeping. You know, you can ask anything you want to do. And, you know, that I think that's really helped you guys also. It definitely helped your wife see a bigger picture of what we do.
Yeah. And I mean, I honestly thought going into that for not, you know, you had a little bit of a smaller, it was like a close-knit gathering for newer people. But once we went to, or once I went to Orlando, my wife didn't come. I was honestly expecting a lot of white, cisgender, heterosexual men. That's what I thought I was walking into. Because when you think of life insurance sales, that's what I think of. And I walked in there and I was blown away by the diversity. And I think that's what's so great about Equus specifically, is that it is so diverse here that if you don't connect with, you know, whether you don't connect with Brady or you don't connect with myself, you know, it doesn't mean, number one, that we can't help you. But if you connect more with someone else, there's so many people here that range all from, you know, whatever to whatever, that you are going to find somebody that you connect with and relate to, and you're going to find a place here.
Yeah, because I mean, when getting into business for yourself, right, we are 1099 individuals. You're not an employee. I always say, you know, you guys are working with me. We're just an army of free people working. So, you know, and so that's where it's, you know, if you don't like me, that's okay. You know, that you're a 1099 employee. But I can tell you this right now, if you don't follow our system, not saying it's, you know, perfect by any means, but it works, right? You know, it wouldn't work if, you know, we weren't the number 3 person in the entire company getting people up and going and getting them started, right? And the reason for that is because we've been dialing this in for the last 6-7 years, me personally for 4 years, and then I've just taken it to the next level with video content, video training. We got new training getting released that I cannot wait for this to get put into the training. It's going to be so much easier for folks. And so, you know, it's a step-by-step guide. I mean, you literally, you know, you said something that, you know, we can't guarantee your success, but you're like, you really can't not succeed. The only way you can't not succeed is if you don't put in the time.
Yeah. And if you don't listen to the feedback, like the only people who have not been successful that I've seen are, number one, they're not putting in the effort, because you're not, people are not, leads. Yeah. You can buy leads, but the appointments are not going to fall in your lap if you don't dial the leads, right? There's a Facebook post that I see all the time, and it's someone who has a company and it's like, dial the leads. That's like literally on their hats on everything. If you don't,
I think it says dial the damn leads.
Whatever it is. If you don't dial the damn leads, no one is going to show up to appointments if you don't set any, right? So if you're not putting in that effort, we can't help you. If, you know, you're, you know, struggling with something and, you know, we say, okay, let's sit with you, let's listen to you dial, and you don't, you know, log in to listen so we can listen to you dial, you know, if you're not like plugging into the system, if you're not going to all the coaching and training calls, and if you're not, you know, taking the feedback and just following the system, yeah, we can't guarantee that you're going to succeed. But if you just plug into it, you know, you're going to be successful.
I was actually talking to, you know, Nick Theodore about this, and it's like, I almost want to take all of our training off our website, because when I first got into the business, we were given, like, I just remember it was one video one sheet of paper. We had a needs analysis and an in-home presentation. My person that was that hired me initially said, just watch this video 30 times and go to your first house and figure out how to dial. It's like, all right, I guess I could try to do this. So, you know, I still did it and was able to be successful, but I watched that video 30 times and I literally watched it. I remember still, I was like, I went from like laying in bed watching the video. Then I went to the ground watching the video. I was just like, it was never stopped watching that video. And so now it's like, it's really hard that you literally just said we have dialing sessions Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. All you have to do is hop on there. You can literally hear me. You can hear any of the top producers live dialing the exact same things that you're going to be dialing. Not only that, then we have meetings Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, RM development to help you build a business. If you want to hire, you know, you can literally do whatever.
And the thing is, I've had people say, well, I can't jump on because I can't put my camera on. I'm doing other things. You don't have to put your camera on. Yeah. I literally, when I'm working my full-time job.
We probably don't want to see you anyways. No. We're probably not the cutest thing in the whole world. That's for sure.
When I'm working my full-time job and answering emails and whatnot, I have my other computer open and I have it, you know, on so I can listen. Like, you're not expected to turn the camera on. You don't need to participate. Like, just dial in, like just get there. If you're working another job, get there and just listen. Just take in everything they're giving you.
I think a lot of people struggle with, you know, or I think a lot of people just in general struggle with the aspect of, because I struggled with this personally, is knowing that you've been really good at something, but then not starting it because you're scared of how good you'll be at something. You know, I stopped wanting to do a podcast forever because, you know, I thought maybe I'd be really good at it, right? And we started it and then I love doing it. It's one of my favorite things I like to do. Even though it's been 4 months, it is one of my things that I love to do, but I'm just very busy. We have, like I said, 50 agents that are working with us now, 186 in training still. And so it is just bonkers how busy we are. But that's besides the point. It's really just getting down, you know, to being okay with getting started with what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of people struggle, I think, with knowing in the back of their head, like, if I put this time in it, one, am I going to fail? But I don't think it's really the failure that people are scared about. It's more of the, man, I might be really good at this. Am I actually ready to be good at something and actually be known for something good? Mm-hmm. And so that's what I think the best thing is.
Yeah. I mean, that didn't happen with me. I still suck and look at me.
Oh, Jesus.
We're a sales manager and we suck.
No, you don't suck. Suck. No. You're definitely really good. So, you know, maybe just kind of wrapping up, not really wrapping up, but, you know, being in the business now for as long as you are, right, 5 months now, you're where you're at right now, like sales manager, you have a few agents working with you now, you're kind of getting that, you know, that flywheel going with hiring and getting everything kind of squared away there. What are maybe some of the current goals that you have and then where you think you'll be seeing yourself in 18 months? Where would you like to be in 18 months?
Yeah, current goals is, I mean, personal within the business and producing, I definitely want to get better at closing. I'm really working on, you know, building that emotional value at the end, because if I could just get better at closing, my business would be so much bigger just for my...
But mind you, just one second. Okay. They keep on saying that they're not good at this. They're super good at this. Okay.
And not good
this
enough.
This is what a lot of people struggle with, is the aspect of you're really good at it, but it's usually just one or two things. Like, I coach so many people on how to dial because I am probably the best dialing. I truly believe that I am the best. And the reason that is like, I had to put in the time and the effort and I had to dial and dial because I sucked at it. Like, I actually truly did suck. I was told by my mentor, Nick, like, you're really bad at this. Like, you should probably have somebody listen to you. So I had some people listen to me. And so, like, that's what differs you, though, from other people is that you stop. You're like, damn, I do suck at this at the moment, but I can get better. Mm-hmm. And then you send me recordings or I listen to you dial. And then it's always just one thing. Like, just change this one thing and you'll start closing like forever.
Yeah.
Or like if you're dialing and setting up appointments, it's always usually one or two words. You're not sentences, just words. You're just saying two things wrong. Yeah. You got to fix that. Or it's your tonality or like, you know, or it's your, you know, how you're coming off and presenting yourself on the phone. But it's usually just super simple things.
So definitely closing. But then in terms of hiring, I think the biggest aspect that I enjoy is just from being a teacher, I love training and coaching people. So I just want to massively, you know, recruit and bring people on because I've been fortunate enough to, you know, been brought on by you and been very successful. And, you know, my wife and I are in a much better place than we were, you know, 6 months ago. So just being able to help people with that and, you know, I feel like that's really kind of like my purpose and passion at this point. I love helping clients, of course, but even more so, I love helping people that are coming on. So really continuing to build that business and 18 months from now,
That may be a little bit too far.
Yeah, I was like, I don't even know what that. Okay. How about let's go six months, let's say end of the year.
Yeah, end of the year. Let's write off a couple things.
All right, so
how many clients do we want to help by the end of the year? And then how many, not only clients, how many agents do you want to help get up and help their first few clients?
Yeah, so I think, let's see. So we're doing about 11 a month right now. Ideally, personally, probably between 15 to 20 myself. So that puts us at what, 200 and, oh my God, am I going to do math wrong on this? 240?
Well, we won't do that.
I'd say let's go with 200 clients total. I think that's feasible. We're at 43. We're in May. 200 is totally doable.
Yeah, you just said the double. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. If you can't double, then we did something very wrong.
Yeah. So help, 100 to why am I doing math so poorly right now? Am I doing math that badly?
No, 200 people. Brain. So you only need to do 150 people next month.
But you just said we need to double, and we're at 43 right now. That math, you're not mathing right.
No, I'm not. I didn't say I was.
Like, you just confused the hell out of me. All right, so help about, we're going to move past that one.
Yes.
We're just going to move past.
Okay. Just want to help 200 clients by the end of the year. We're at 40 some right now, so you got to help 150
yeah,
people.
Yeah, so I got to pick up the pace a little bit on that. And then on top of that, I really want to have a ton of agents with me that are being successful and are growing and everything.
So we quantify things here. What's a ton?
Oh, a ton. So right now, what do I have? Probably about 10 licensed agents currently, a lot more going through the pipeline. Let's set a lofty goal.
100.
Ooh, that's what I was going to say. And then I was like, that's a bit too lofty, but we can go with it. So
well, I'm trying to go to 1,000. So that's only one tenth of what I need. All right, so let's go for 100.
We'll go with 200 families protected, 100 licensed agents up and going. I want to have, what is this silver producer? Is that 100,080
apps?
Yeah,
that's a baby one.
Oh yeah, that is baby compared to what I just said. Okay, well, we're going to get past there. Definitely want to be a regional manager by the end of the year.
You'd be an elite producer. Regional manager's in the bag. Or I'd say... I would probably say you could.
Maybe you should just bang my goals for 6 months.
I think I'm going
months.
To. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, I don't
yeah.
even know why you're asking me because you're going to tell me differently anyway.
So the reason why this is because Efron wants to set little goals. Okay, they really like little goals because they're worried they're going to hit them, and they want to hit them. And so Efron can do a lot more than what they're doing. And
all right. So in 6 months, Brady, by the end of the year, where are we going to be?
I foresee you being at least probably we'll set the new agents goal a little bit lower, probably at least helping 60 agents get up and going, write their first policies, and then you probably have at least 20 to 30 writing each month. And then on top of that, doing at least 200,000 in paid business yourself. You're on pace for that anyways. I mean, that's an easy one. And then I would say if you have 20 or 30 people going, you probably hit VP. That's $100,000 a month. You're doing, like you said, you want to do about 20,000. So yeah, you could easily hit VP $80,000.
If I'm consistent.
Consistent. Yes. So what do you think of those goals? I think they're attainable.
I mean, I think they're attainable too. We got to ask my wife.
Yeah.
Got to make sure there's a balance. Do you think we could hit this with a balance, Brady?
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to make them the
maybe
goals.
Maybe get rid of one thing in your life and then you can have more time.
So, going to get rid of Brady.
All right. Well, I don't know about all that. So. But anything else closing wise you want to, maybe say to people to, maybe help them decide if they want to get into insurance or they want to do that side business or they want to, follow something that you did or.
Yeah. I mean, if you've been thinking about getting into this business or anything else, like you don't need to know anything to get started. I knew nothing. You have great people within Equus. Like I said, whether it's Brady, whether it's myself, whether it's someone else, you have great people here that are going to help you grow and help you build if you want to build. But start now. Like, do not wait until you think the time is ready or until you think you have enough time because right now you work a full-time job. You have, just do it. And if you can only dial one day a week and set 6 appointments for a week, just do it now and just do that consistently until you can dial, more days. Because if you wait until you are ready, you're never going to be ready.
Or if you have that time, go look at that Netflix account. I wonder how many hours you watch on Netflix.
Yeah. So just do it at that point, at this point.
Man, I'm just going to get you stamped on your head Nike on you because you just keep on saying just do it.
You're never going to get a tattoo on my face.
It's going to put a stamp there, yes. So, well, thank you guys, everybody, for hopping on. Efron, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I know it's well overdue. We're planning on having more people. We have hired now staff that's coming in to help out. We got an assistant that's helping with back-end stuff. We now have the videographer, so you're going to be seeing all of this a lot on social media. I'm sorry for you guys, but hey, we're going to be here. So
Brady's ugly face.
Hey. Leave comments if you think it's ugly. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Well, thank you guys so much, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Thank you.
See y'all.